Would you join with me in prayer? Generous God, you give us what we need and satisfy our desires in due season. Strengthen us in our inner being through your Spirit so that Christ may dwell in our hearts and accomplish in us far more than we can ask or imagine. Amen. When I was a small kid, this new family moved in next door to us, the Buys. They had a son close to my age who used to pal around with me and my brother. And his father was from Vietnam. And his grandmother, Mrs. Bui, came to stay with them for long periods of time. She spoke hardly a word of English, but she was a deeply caring woman. If we forgot to bring in our bikes, she'd wheel them up to the garage. When my mother was working in the garden and put my baby sister down next to her, Mrs. Bui would scoop her up. We found out later this was because in her hometown, you didn't let small children play on the ground because of venomous snakes. What I remember most, though, is that if we were playing with her grandson next door, she'd interrupt us to bring us snacks. Sometimes it was just cookies from the pantry, but often she would set down egg rolls or home-cooked food saying, "A special treat for you." I think about Mrs. Bui now that I'm an adult, and I'm so grateful to her. She was probably one of the more attentive and compassionate people in our neighborhood. She cared about her grandson and his friends, and though she couldn't always communicate with us through language, she could say everything she needed, everything she wanted to say through food. There's something special about food, something that transcends language, that expresses care and hospitality and acceptance in a way that anyone can understand. As babies, we bond with our parents through touch, but also through feeding, and we come to trust the people that are there to satisfy one of our most basic needs. And when we get older, it's amazing to see just how sharing a meal together with someone opens up conversation and connection in a way that other kinds of interaction can't. It's built into our very language. A companion literally means someone with whom you break and share bread. So it's no surprise that food plays a big part of the Bible story about God's relationship with us. In the book of Isaiah, when God wants to describe what it is going to look like when God answers the people's prayers and rescues them from the enemies that threaten them, God shows them the image of a banquet, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. When the Psalms describe what it means for God to be in relationship with God's creation, as the Creator, the psalmist sings, "These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things." And the psalm that's maybe the most familiar to us, Psalm 23, talks about green pastures for sheep and a table that's prepared for us. God feeds, which is to say God provides, sustains life, and blesses it with abundance. The people who come to Jesus in our gospel reading, though, have not experienced abundance. We heard last week that Jesus looked over them and saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, that's a way of saying that these people were badly led, that those in authority, King Herod and the Roman Emperor, are not serving them well. But it's more specific than that. A shepherd protects the people from their enemies, and a shepherd feeds the people. Yet here is this massive crowd full of men and women and children bearing all these burdens in their bodies and spirits, and whatever their long-term needs might be, there's a pressing, immediate need. One that Jesus perceives. They're in a deserted place, and they're hungry. where are we going to buy bread for all these people? Jesus asks Philip. Now, we know he's testing Philip because the scripture tells us that. But the scripture doesn't need to tell us that because it's there right in the way that Jesus frames the question. Where are we going to buy bread? It's a question that assumes that bread must be bought. It takes the social and economic and political arrangements as given and asks, how can we work within these constraints to fulfill the people's needs? And given that framing, Philip is completely right in the way that he answers Jesus. We can't do it, Lord. There's too much need and we don't have the resources to meet it. The kingdom of this world is unequal to the task of feeding its people. Jesus is going to have to show them a completely new way. Now, the food that Jesus gives them is not supernatural in origin, though. He doesn't turn stones into bread, nor do flakes of manna appear on the ground as they did during the Exodus. Andrew, another one of the disciples, identifies a little kid who's brought a little bit of food. 5 loaves and 2 fish is more than the kid needs. But Andrew is still thinking in this worldly terms when he asks Jesus, what are they among so many? What are they indeed? Jesus is about to show us. In John's version of the story, Jesus gives thanks. The other Gospels tell us that Jesus blessed the bread, but here he gives thanks. The Greek word John uses for this is from the same word as Eucharist, or another word for communion. And so as Jesus offers thanksgiving and breaks the bread, we're meant to imagine this as a foreshadowing of the communion celebration. John, in his telling of the life of Jesus, does not show us communion at the Last Supper. That's not part of his story. Instead, he shows us communion here, Jesus giving thanks and breaking the bread at the feeding of the 5,000. And this isn't just some random miracle that Jesus does to show his power. This is Jesus performing a sign that shows us who he is. I am the bread of life, we'll hear him say next week. He came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. He gives his body for the life of the world. What is happening here is Jesus acting out these deep truths about his identity and purpose. What are 5 loaves and 2 fish among so many? It turns out that they are more than enough to feed the crowd with 12 baskets full of leftovers. When we place the little that we have in the hands of Jesus, when we allow him to break and share it with others in love and thanksgiving, he multiplies it beyond all imagining. Who is Jesus? He's the shepherd who feeds the sheep, who provides everything they need and more, who blesses the flock with abundance. The passages that we're going to read over the next few weeks do a lot of unpacking of what this story means. And so I think today it's enough just to dwell in the wonder and necessity of feeding as a sign of God's kingdom. In ordinary times, we've done a lot of feeding at this church. I hope circumstances will soon allow us to return to having fellowship with food after worship. Over the years, we've had soup suppers and other dinners in the fellowship hall. We've helped to feed homeless families through the Family Promise Shelter with the other Allendale churches. We've got an ongoing relationship with the Center for Food Action in Mahwah, and the donations that we provide there go to tables of our neighbors in this part of Bergen County so that their families will have enough to eat. And we don't do this just because it's a nice thing to do or because we want to be generous. We do it because of what's happening in the story that we heard today. We do it because in the hands of Jesus, the little bit that we have to share overflows in blessing for us and for others. I want to invite you to take this on in a personal sense too. And that in your walk as a disciple of Jesus, don't underestimate the power of feeding. Mrs. Bui didn't need words to convince us kids that she cared deeply about us and welcomed us into her family's home. If there's someone in your neighborhood or on the edge of your circle of friends that you're thinking about right now, someone who maybe carries a lot of burdens, it may be that the best way to share God's love with them is to feed them. Because the real meaning of this story is that you are enough. Thinking like Philip, trying to measure up our resources and abilities against the vast sea of human need around us can be overwhelming. But Jesus doesn't ask us to offer what we don't have. He gives thanks to God for what we are able to provide, however small and insignificant it may be in our own eyes. And in his hands, it becomes abundance, blessing, sustenance for multitudes. Who is this Jesus? He gathers our loaves and fishes, our stretched resources, our too busy lives, our inadequacy, our insufficiency, our lack, and he blesses. He breaks, he shares, he gives thanks, and he feeds those hungry for bread and good news. In his hands, it is enough. We are enough, and more than enough. Thanks be to God. Amen.